morning, our devotional study comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with the water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gathereth his wheat in the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Are there any announcements before we go to play? If not, let's go to Sunday school.
I remembered to bring my church manual today. I didn't get to where this was going last week when I didn't bring the church manual, and we seemed to be talking about the church. So we...
I was reading that.
Oh.
That's awesome.
Last week, if you remember, we talked about the church, the physical church. And in this week's lesson, we're talking about the ordinances in the church. And Jimmy, in his reading this morning, read about baptism. Our lesson today is going to be based on the Lord's Supper, but the reference is made to the Fourteenth article of faith that's found in our Baptist church manual. And I'm going to read that because it goes right along with the lesson. 14th article of faith concerns baptism and the Lord's Supper. We believe that Christian baptism is the immersion in water of a believer into the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost, to show forth in a solemn and beautiful emblem our faith in the crucified, buried, and risen Savior, with its effect in our death to sin and resurrection to a new life, that it is prerequisite to the privileges of a church relation and to the Lord's Supper, in which the members of the church, by the sacred use of bread and wine, are to commemorate together the dying love of Christ, preceded always by solemn self-examination. Now, that is what our lesson is going to be on today. It's going to be based on the 14th article of faith out of our church manual. And our reading lesson begins in the 26th chapter and the 20th verse. Now, this was when Jesus had come to Jerusalem, and they were beginning to prepare for the Passover. Now, the Passover was a yearly event that it was regarding to the Israelites fleeing of Egypt, and you can find that if y'all want to read about that in the 12th chapter of Exodus. And in that you find that the Lord instructed that this was to be done as a memorial. Passover was to be done as a memorial for all ages. And if you remember, it came time for the Israelites to flee Egypt. And the final thing that God did was strike the firstborn dead throughout Egypt. And the warning came to his children, the children of Israel, that they were to prepare themselves to flee, and they were to, first, they were to eat kill and to roast a lamb and eat it. And all the instructions are there if you want to read it in Exodus. But a lamb was killed and roasted, and its blood was spread on the door jamb. And if you remember the story, when the death angel came and swept through Egypt, if the blood was found, the blood of the lamb was found on the door jamb, then that house was passed over. Hence, Passover. And it was to be celebrated throughout all generations. Now, our lesson today concerns the lamb that was looking forward to. There was a reason for this lamb to be slain. And the reference goes throughout the scriptures of a lamb that was to come. And that lamb is now here on this earth. And he's in a physical presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so he had come into Jerusalem at the time when the celebration of Passover was to begin. And he instructed the disciples, or his apostles, that they were to go and prepare a place and get ready for this memorial, for this food that they were to eat as custom. This roasted lamb, and I think it said roasted lamb and unleavened bread and bitter herbs, I think is what they ate. And so they came into Jerusalem, and all this was taking place. The place was prepared, and Jesus and his disciples went up into this room that had been prepared for the Passover. And they sat down at the table, he and the disciples. And this is where our lesson begins, in the 20th verse of the 26th chapter of Matthew. Now, when the even was come, that's evening, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in this dish, in the dish, the same shall betray me." Now, no one at this time knew who this traitor was. But Jesus let them know that he was sitting there in the midst of them. This man who was to betray him, because he said he's going to be one that shares this dish. And they were all there sharing this dish. And so they were asking, "Is it I? Is it I?" Everyone was asking. I think you'll find in another one of the Gospels where Judas himself even asked, "Is it I?" And Jesus said, I'm not quoting exactly, but he said, "Thou sayest it," or something like that. In other words, he said, "Yes, you're it." But I think Judas knew that he was it. This had already been planned out. And he knew he was it. And I think he was just playing along with the other 12, with the other 11, that he was, he had the knowledge that he was going to betray Christ. And he was going to do that. But I don't think he knew anybody knew that. But I think he quickly found out that Jesus already knew. Now, let's be realistic about this. This was part of God's plan. This wasn't anything that was surprising. It certainly wasn't surprising to Jesus. And I know it wasn't surprising to God, because this was all part of the plan of salvation. This had to occur. Somebody in heaven, long before the earth was created, said, "I'll go." And you know who that was? Jesus said he would go. This has been in the plan stage for generations. And it was now coming to fulfillment. And so the disciples were sitting around, and they were all in the floor saying, "Is it I? Am I the one? Am I the one?" And Judas said, "Is it am I the one?" And God, and Judas said, "Yeah, you're it." And he also told him to find out. He said, "Do it now. Do it now. Let's get on with it. Let's get this thing going." "And the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." I can't imagine what the feeling must have been like to betray the only Son of God. Anyway, that's a whole other story. "It had been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" He said unto him, "Thou hast said," meaning, "Yes." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now, I want you to know and realize that right here, the memorial of Passover changed. It changed because Jesus changed it. He established something here for the church. He set it up here for us to remember him by. And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." No longer are we required to remember God bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. The whole point of this was to remember Christ's blood that he gave upon the cross, the flesh that he gave to the whip and torture that he stood under, and the blood that he shed on the cross, that was going to be pleasing to God, that God was going to be able to give mankind. And there was only one sacrifice that could do that, and it wasn't that lamb that they slit his throat, they bled his blood out, and they spread it on the doorpost. That wasn't Christ. It was the blood of our Lord and Savior. And more than the blood of our Lord and Savior, it was his love that he shed for us. Can you imagine the love that God has for us, that he would give up his Son to go and die on the cross? Now, you say, "Well, yeah, but he knew that he was going to be raised again the third day." Yeah, he did know that. But look at the suffering that he had to go through to get to that point where he was raised. I can't imagine what pain and suffering he was about to go through from this point on until God raised him. And he did that because of you and me. That's why he did. I'm straying way off the board here, but you know, you think about it. He told me, he said, "You think I can't call, what was it, 6 or 7 legions of angels to come down and help? You think I can't call?" You know, you can't put into words the power that angels have over us poor, weak, mortal beings. You can't imagine what power one angel can have. You read through the scriptures of what the angels did. You know, Daniel was in prayer. And I think it was Gabriel. Go to Daniel. And immediately the angel stood up and Daniel and tapped him on the shoulder. These beings are far more than we could ever imagine. And Jesus said, "You think I can call 6 or 7, whatever it was, with legion?" I mean, we're talking about thousands of angels. If we're talking about a Roman legion, we're talking about 70 or 80,000 angels. He said, "You think I can call them? If I ask my Father, He will send them to me, and this will all go away." And it would have. If He had said, "I can't stand this any longer, send me help," God would have sent me. And when he went to the garden to pray, he said, "Lord, behold, let this cup pass from me." He dreaded the pain that he was going to go through. He said, "God, if it just be thy will, let this cup pass from me." You know what I think? Being a parent, God must have had to turn away from me. You know what Jesus said? He said, "If it's thy will, thou wilt be done." The Lord's Supper in the church is a serious matter. It should not be done in frivolity. Now, I told you I'm just wandering all over the place. Paul got word that the Corinthians, we studied this recently, Paul got word that the Corinthians were doing things wrong in the church. And he wrote them a letter. And he told them, he said, here again, I paraphrase, he said, "On top of everything else, y'all not doing the Lord's Supper justice. What you're doing, you're just eating a meal and you're just having all kind of fun. This is a serious matter." Listen, the manual said it's self-examination. You're not supposed to be out there laughing and whooping it up. You're supposed to go at this in a serious matter because look what Jesus went through for us because He loved us enough. He loved us enough and He begged His Father to take the cup away from Him. He said, "Nevertheless, thy will be done." Because you know why He said that? Because He loved us. And you know what He did? When I was a 7-year-old boy, He looked down on me sitting back there few seats back at McFerrin Missionary Baptist Church. He heard me. Stop that. He heard me when I begged him to save his soul. That's what he did. He saved his soul. I mean, I had peace like you can't imagine. But that's a serious matter. And what he did for me is a serious matter. And we established these ordinances in the church. It was a serious matter. And if a church doesn't follow these ordinances, I'll have to say that they're not a church that he set up. He came into this world, he just set up one church. He didn't set up a bunch. He didn't even set up what was known as a Baptist church. It's not in the name, people. It's in the practice. It's in the scriptures right here. He said there's two ordinances, one baptism and one the Lord's Supper. And you got to have one before you have the other. You can't just give out the Lord's Supper to anybody. And there's churches today that take the Lord's Supper and give it to anybody. No. How can you do that? You won't find that in the scriptures anywhere. How can you tell somebody they've been saved when you don't even know? Only that person in God knows whether or not you've been saved. I've got the weight off my head. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." This blood that was this wine that was in the cup won't save you. It said his blood would save you. There's churches today that believe that you have to take the Lord's Supper every time they offer it, or you're going to split hell wide open. That has nothing to do with salvation. You didn't say that you're going to drink this for the remission of sin. He said that you're going to drink this, which is shed. It's the blood. It represents the blood that was shed for the remission of sin. Jesus Christ's blood is the only thing that can save anybody in this world. It is the only thing. I don't care who you follow. I don't care what creed that you follow. If you hadn't been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, you're bound for hell. And there's just no other way to get around it. It takes the blood. It don't take a handshake. It don't take a watery baptism. It doesn't take, like I told y'all before, that friend of mine when I was in junior high school, who I helped him with a test that he was going to take that was going to save him when he joined the church. It's not a test that you have to take. And I sat there and gave him out the questions, make sure he had all my answers right. We were kids. And he said, "It's going to take this, you know, for me to be in the church." And I said, "Okay." I kind of laugh about that. This was a serious matter. Jesus was in just a few hours of going to the cross and dying. And he took the time out because he wanted to pass along something that he wanted the church to do. He wanted the church to have this ordinance established. And he told them, "When you do this, you remember me." And for 2,000 years, his church has had this ordinance in it. And we have taken of the Lord's Supper. And I hope and pray that each one of you that partake of it knows the seriousness of this. This was something that was established by Jesus himself. Jesus established this. Just think about that. He set it up himself just a few hours before he gave his life. "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And one of these days, we're going to have this supper. One of these days, we're going to have this supper. And Jesus himself is going to be there. And he's going to take this for us. Now, won't that be a grand thing to be involved in? He said, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, what I have just read, is that what this church does? I mean, to the best of our ability, is this what I've just read? Is this not what this church does? Don't we take unleavened bread and the very blessings it's passed around? We take the juice and it's blessed and it's passed around. When we're through, we sing a song. That's what the scripture said they did right here. And if you don't do it that way, it's not scripture. I'm sorry. It's just not scripture. You can't take this out of the church and take it to the hospital and give it to somebody. They do that all the time. My aunt talked about that all the time. Oh, we took the Lord's Supper today and we went to the hospital and we gave it to all of our members out there and all the people who would take it. That's not where it belongs. It don't belong in the hospital. It belongs in the church. It's to be taken by church members in church capacity. It's a solemn event. It's not anything that can be, that's to be happy and fraught about. This is something that Jesus himself established. And he didn't say anything. I don't see anything here where it said, take this to the people that's outside of this place here. I don't see anywhere where it says that. He gave it to those men that were sitting around him, the foundation of our church. And he gave this as an example for the church to follow. Two ordinances, that's all there is. You don't have to take a test. There's two ordinances in the church. And I believe if you don't do both of those ordinances as a church, you're wrong. And I believe there's a certain way that they ought to be. Now, I'm not saying that we do it exactly like what happened here. There's probably a lot of things we don't exactly do, but the base of it is there. We do it to the best of our knowledge in a way that we feel pleases God. And you know what? I believe it pleases. You know why? Because I felt the Spirit. And I don't believe his Spirit would have been felt if he wasn't pleased. And that's what I like about this church. This is a place you can come and feel the Spirit. Now, we may not do everything like they did. I'm sure we don't do everything like they did. But like I said, the basics. We have a God called preacher. I believe that. I believe that as much as I believe I'm standing right here today. That our pastor was called by God to carry the gospel. Now that's the first thing the church needs, is a God called preacher. If you ain't got a God called preacher, you ain't got a chance of being a church. Not in God. And I believe it takes that. And then I believe it takes a group of baptized believers to form a church. And it takes a group of baptized believers to partake in the Lord's Supper. And it includes us coming together in a holy ceremony that Jesus himself set up and to conduct it to the best of our ability that we believe the Lord will be pleased with. That's our obligation to God, is to do the best that we can do. That we might be able to please him. That he might look at us and say, You're doing well. And you know, because I have felt the Spirit here, I believe God many times has placed his stamp of approval upon our actions. Because I feel the Spirit. I can feel it now standing
standing here, I asked him earlier. I said, "You just got to give me something to say. I can't just stand up here and read like this." And the reason I ask that is because we all know what the Lord's Supper is. I'm talking to the choir here. But I can feel him standing. And know that he's there ready to hear our needs, our wants, our desires. And he's there to give us something to do if we'll just do it. Because I believe beyond a shadow of doubt that this church, us here, are his. I don't have a doubt about that. I don't care whether we're called Baptist or what we're called. I believe that we're one of his. He didn't say anything about Baptist being the only ones that take the Lord's Supper. You know, we've been called a bunch of things down throughout the years. And I know I ain't got time to go into the history of the church. And I certainly am not going that route. But I know that we haven't been called Baptist forever. We've been called a bunch of things. Some of them are very good. Some of them we're called by our enemies. Called the haters. Why? Because we wouldn't give up our Baptist principles. Or we wouldn't give up our principles. And if you don't have one of these little churches, this was written by J.M. Pendleton, James Madison Pendleton. Born in 1811, wrote this book about 1850. And boy, if you want to know what we believe, it's right here. If you want to know where this church gets its marching orders, and you can say all you want to, well, y'all just follow that man. Well, yeah. Yeah, we sort of do follow this man. Because the scriptures in there lead us right back here to this book. You can find everything that's in here, right here. Boy, this explains it so good. And I haven't found anything in this book, and I've read it from front to back, that says anything different than what this church does right here. Not one thing. So, yeah, this is our man right here. It says, Baptist Church man. It's amazing what you can find out in here. And if you need some information, it's right here. If you want to know why we just have two ordinances in the church, right here it says. If you want to know what a church is, right here it says. It's got scripture to show you. That's for me. I know it's been scattered. It's been all over the place. I understand that. But you think what God has done for us as his people. I can't help but shed some tears because I made it. Goodness, 60 years ago. 60 years ago, I made it, and I have never forgot that meeting that I had. It was just me and him. It was just me and him. It's kind of like I was telling y'all during the Bible when me and him sat out in the middle of the road. It was just me, him, and God. That's all it was. Under that old street light, it was me, him, and God. You could have felt it. You could have reached out. That's the way it was 60 years ago when I met him. It was just me and him. We had our own little meeting back there. As people bowed around everywhere, I remember that. But it was just me and him. It was just by ourselves. And he looked down. And he saved my soul. What a day that was. That's my lesson. Anybody have anything, sir? Well, that's the wrong reason. One name we carry was Anabaptist. And that is because we rebaptized people who came into the church and they didn't like anything to do with that because they thought baptism was just fine coming from Catholicism. But no, we wouldn't take it. We won't take anybody's baptism unless it's scriptural. Anyone else? Brother Quinn, would you dismiss us, please?
I have a father to thank you for this Lord's Day and the Lord's opportunity to come to my house. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Sunday school lesson.